It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent rodhunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you consider yourself too intelligent to accept the biblical God. You think that those who follow God are doing it by blind faith and are doing it out of gullibility. You think they've perhaps been brainwashed. Well, my friend, I haven't been brainwashed. I'm not gullible, and I accept the existence of God. As a matter of fact, what I'd like to do today is turn the tables. There's an old and very popular saying. It goes like this. When a person stops believing in God, he'll start believing in anything. Isn't that interesting? Those of us that believe in God are the ones always accused of accepting anything. This statement calls the opposite into account. When a man stops believing in God, he'll start believing in anything. Now, that phrase is frequently associated with well-known Christian apologist G.K. Chesterton. He didn't actually coin the phrase. The phrase predates him, but he made it famous, and he deserves credit for using it. It's really a very profound statement when we stop to think about it. When a person stops believing in God, he'll start believing in anything. Now, we need to define some terms. Chesterton, of course, being a Christian apologist, when he talked about God, he meant the biblical God. There are all kinds of beliefs in God. There's pantheism, the belief that God and the universe are one and the same. Those are not the kinds of gods that Chesterton was talking about. He wasn't talking about Canaanite gods. He wasn't talking about tree gods. He wasn't talking about some giant vegetable god. He meant the one and only true God of the universe, which he associated as the God who had revealed himself generation after generation through Scripture. Yes, there are a lot of different views of God, and many of the people that accuse Christians of being stupid and have some other kind of belief in deity. Others are agnostics or atheists. But my point is, when I say God from here on out in this talk, we're referring to the biblical God. That's what Chesterton was talking about. And as I said, this statement turns the tables on those who would claim Christians are gullible for believing in the Bible and believing in its many claims, such as miracles. Now, on a lot of previous radio shows, I've responded to the arrogant name-calling directed at Bible believers. I've talked about the Bible's verification, how it's corroborated by archaeology, corroborated by other history of its time, the fulfilled prophecy. I've even challenged those who would call miracles, pointing out that in the fields of science, in the history of science, what we often thought was impossible became possible. I've used the analogy of somebody several hundred years ago looking at you talking on your cell phone, or looking at an airplane or a television set, things that would have looked miraculous to them. We understand that it's scientific data that's just been harnessed that they didn't know about. And we take it for granted that 1,000 years in the future, human beings will do things that if we could look ahead and see it, we would have no idea how they did it. We think of it as miraculous, but it wouldn't be miraculous. We assume they're using some kind of science to do it. Well, the God who created all scientific law can do these things right now. So the word miracle in the Bible is not equated with magic. It's just something that we don't yet understand and God does. But I've gone into that in a lot of detail before. Today, we're going to go another place. Yes, I do accept God. In fact, it's more than a belief. The Bible promises that we can encounter God. It goes beyond belief. It gets into facts. It gets into knowledge. So yes, I more than believe in God. And now let me tell you what I don't believe. Let me talk about ideas that make sense to so many, that are embraced today by so many, who smugly pat themselves on the back for being too intelligent to ever become brainwashed regarding the God of the Bible. For example, I do not believe a man should join a woman's swim team simply because he claims to be a woman, or that he should be allowed to undress in the same locker room. And I certainly don't believe that parents who complain about it at PTA meetings should be called terrorists by our own government. You talk about science, you talk about facts. Is there anything more scientifically verifiable than the difference between a man and a woman? I mean, we're not just talking about appearance. We're getting into biology, physiology, genetics. And just because somebody says he identifies as a woman, we're supposed to throw all that out. And where is it going to stop? You can identify with anything. Just imagine some student going up to his professor and saying, "Sir, I know you flunked me, but I identify as being an A student. I look at that F and I think you should call it an A because that's how I identify." How about a criminal found guilty in court? "Your Honor, I identify as being innocent. In my heart, I believe I'm innocent. And what goes on in my heart, that's all that matters. Who are you to judge me?" Frankly, my friends, there are people today that are identifying as animals. So you think you're really a bird? Are you going to climb up to the top of a skyscraper or a cliff and jump and flap your arms? You know what's going to happen? You're going to be dead. It's not going to matter how you identify, because facts are facts. And when they aren't facts, I don't identify with them. That's on the list of things I don't believe. Yes, I believe in God. I don't believe that nonsense. Neither do I believe that anybody who is against abortion should be called a Nazi, especially when we have abortions in the third trimester, babies that are viable. Sometimes babies that were already born, but we have doctors who want to put them to death because it was the intention of the mother to have them aborted, and it was a botched up abortion. And there are those who believe that should be going on, and they're going to accuse those of us that are against that, that care about innocent children, they're going to accuse us of being Nazis, when it was the real, honest-to-goodness Nazis that exterminated babies and did euthanasia and killed babies just for being Jewish. Let's look at what the real Nazis are doing. I don't believe we should call everybody a Nazi. I do believe we should look at the real Nazis. Speaking of the Nazis, I believe that human life is more important than animal life. But try explaining that to PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Now look, I've had pets, I've had dogs, cats, I love animals, but I'm going to say that I believe human life is more important than animal life. Did you know that a couple of years ago, PETA went on TV complaining that some Palestinian terrorists in Israel had blown up some donkeys? But they had never complained when Palestinian terrorists were blowing up Israeli citizens. PETA also complained that those that raise chickens and put chickens behind cages for the sake of being put to death and then eaten, sold to Kentucky Fried Chicken for a bucket of extra crispy, they compared that to the Holocaust. They put up a picture of imprisoned chickens, and they put up a picture of a German concentration camp, and it said the new Holocaust. I don't believe we should be as concerned about the life of chickens as the life of people that were mass murdered. I just don't happen to believe that. Call me a romantic. Oh, and it goes beyond animal life. It goes beyond life. I had a college student tell me that rocks are just as important and valuable as human beings. I said, "Really? So when you read in the newspapers that some poor woman got raped and you read on the same day that they plan to tear up concrete, you get the same reaction?" I just had to use that example so that he could stop and think for a moment about what he was saying. And speaking of rocks, and speaking of animals, and speaking of plants, and speaking of saving the planet, I don't believe we're going to save the planet from global warming by eating insects. Here's another thing I don't believe. I don't believe we should allow criminals to go into stores and steal merchandise as long as it comes up to $999. I don't believe we should be defunding the police and then complaining about the rise of crime. I don't believe it's racist to say that our country should have borders when the same people that declare America racist for wanting borders will accept the borders in every other country in the world. And the same politicians who speak against our borders here will support borders and funds for borders in the Middle East. I don't believe that when Antifa does violence on a college campus, it should be called freedom of speech. I don't believe that when a conservative wants to just come out and speak, the speech should be called violence. Yes, my friends, there are a lot of ideas being accepted today that would not have been accepted 20 years ago or 10 years ago, or in some cases, even 3 or 4 years ago. They're nonsense, but people are marching in lockstep. They're following the beat of the drum. Well, I don't go along with it. There's a lot of nonsense that I simply don't believe. but I do believe in the God of the Bible. This is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
Believe it or not, Bob Siegel is aware that there may be one or two people who disagree with his opinions. To offer your own comments on the topic at hand, or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, feel free to contact Bob on Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Election fraud is actually admitted. Just be sure not to complain about it if you were not participating in the election fraud. You will recall on previous radio shows a prediction I made and have made on multiple occasions. I said what Democrats and liberals deny today, they will admit tomorrow. In fact, not just admit it, they will brag about it, revel in it. And that is just exactly what I said would happen once the dust settled after the 2020 presidential election and a few years went by. Now, this is nothing new, and it was not a difficult prediction. We saw this before with socialism. When Obama was president, conservatives were calling him a socialist. And the blowback from the left was that this was an insult. And how could we dare resort to such name-calling? Even fellow conservatives stood up on behalf of Obama. Michael Medved, radio commentator, who I actually like and respect, went on the air and said that when conservatives called Obama a socialist, they were sounding like an idiot. Obama claimed to be a capitalist. He claimed to love capitalism. How he said it with a straight face is beyond me. But flash forward a few years later, Bernie Sanders is running, and he's bragging about being a socialist. And today, it's so fashionable for people to claim to be socialist-leaning. In fact, they embrace it as if it's a badge of honor. So what is denied one day is admitted to and reveled the next day. Why? Because the frog is being boiled so slowly that people don't notice the incremental change. Incremental, a step at a time, that is. And then we find ourselves way to the left of where we once were. We wake up one morning and find the country in disarray. Well, getting back to the election, I'm reading a report from Market Watch regarding a Rasmussen poll. And Rasmussen, as you know, is one of the more accurate pollsters. pastors. A new poll by the Heartland Institute and Rasmussen Reports found 1 in 5 voters who cast mail-in ballots during the 2020 presidential election admit to participating in at least one kind of election fraud. When asked, during the 2020 election, did you fill out a ballot in part or in full on behalf of a friend or family, such as a spouse or child? 21% of respondents who said they voted by mail answered yes. Filling out a ballot for someone else is illegal in all states, although many states allow people to assist others with voting. Additionally, 17% of mail-in voters said they voted in a state where you were no longer a permanent resident. 17% of mail-in voters also admitted to signing a ballot or ballot envelope on behalf of a friend or family member. Both voting in a state where you are no longer a permanent resident and forging a signature on a ballot or ballot envelope are fraudulent activities that invalidate votes when caught by election officials. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Aside from the clear wrongdoing of voting in a state you no longer live in, you might be saying, well, these people may have been doing it sincerely. Just because they filled it out on behalf of a family member doesn't mean they weren't accurately reflecting it. But it's ripe with fraud potential. Anyway, that's nothing. That's just where I'm beginning. Now, check this out. This is another story I'm reading from Straight Arrow News. They're also getting their stats from Rasmussen. And this was an interview of a segment of elites. What do we mean by elites? People with significantly greater wealth, higher levels of education, participants in news organizations like NBC, ABC. It says, now 77% of this group, 3 out of 4, believe that you should coerce the American people into doing the things they want. So in the name of climate change, they would force all of us to buy electric cars, even though only 6% of the American people want to buy one. At the same time, they have very strong feelings about politics, and the most politically aware of them, in what Scott Rasmussen said was the most startling numbers he'd ever seen, 69% of them said they would cheat to win an election. Here's one of the quotations. They would steal an election if that's what it took. Steal! Okay, my friends, so there you have it. The elite can confess to their arrogance. After all, they're only doing you a service. You're too stupid to know how harmful and evil President Trump was during his 4 years in office and what a crackerjack job President Biden is doing. They can cheat if that's what it takes. They can even admit to cheating. They can even brag about cheating. However, and this is very important, don't you dare call them out on it. That will make you an election denier. In fact, the latest term for election denier is insurrectionist. You want to write this down? You're an insurrectionist for pointing out what people boldly admit they're doing. And our country will not stand for that. We won't stand for insurrection. We won't stand for calling out elections unless Donald Trump wins again. Then it will once again be patriotic to contest the election results as Hillary Clinton and the Democrats did during the entire 4 years President Trump was in office. See how it works? Catching on, grasping the rules. This is Bob Siegel, making the obvious obvious.
This is Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burn down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 480539, WNS Electric.
Bob Siegel's novel, Push the Winds Around, is now available in both ebook and print copies. Check out this customer review from Amazon.com. Talk about a good read. Have you ever thought, if only God would allow me to go back in time to right my wrongs? What if I could change those decisions I made? What would be the outcome? Would the changes make a difference? If you have ever thought about that, then this book is your challenge. The story is so good you won't want it to end. You'll see why it deserves 5 stars. Bob Siegel, you've done it again. Can't wait for the sequel. Push the Winds Around, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Always good to be joined by my producer, Brendan Thomas.
Good evening, Bob. How are you doing tonight?
Doing okay. How about you?
I'm doing great. It is chilly in here. I should have brought an air, like it's air conditioning right now.
It was chilly this morning at church, too. It's been chilly everywhere.
Yeah, but yesterday was nice. A high of 74 degrees. We finally had good weather in San Diego. Finally, America's finest city had America's finest weather yesterday.
Boy, I'll tell you, though, Dana pays more attention to the Weather Bureau than I do, but she's changing on that, because last week they were predicting it was going to just sprinkle on and off all day long, just sparely sprinkle. Mm-hmm. In the middle of the day when we were having a monsoon, I texted Dana and said, so much for their crackerjack reporting.
Let me tell you, my weather app on my phone is complete and total wastewater, let me tell you. Because every time I look at it, it says it's one weather, and it's completely different the next time.
The best weather app I know of is a window. You just look outside, and you see. I remember one time I was driving, and the rain was just beating against my windshield. I was listening to the radio. They're predicting 90% chance of rain today. It's already pouring, but they're predicting 90% chance. Okay.
I remember I was in North Dakota one time, and I flipped through 3 different stations while it was pouring down rain. It was, Have You Ever Seen the Rain by Creedence Clearwater, and then Let Your Love Rain on Me. And I was like, come on, is this just a coincidence? Come on, am I in a romantic comedy cliche like scenario there? Can I respond to a couple of things in your monologue that you played earlier?
Absolutely.
So let's go to your first one, the crime situation. I think crime punishments have been absolutely horrendous. Did you hear about this story about a month ago? There was this woman from California. She stabbed her boyfriend 108 times, and it was because she smoked marijuana, but she only took one puff of it. And they later found out the marijuana was laced with extra THC by 30%. But even then, she stabbed him and he's dead. And she only gets 100 hours of community service. No prison time. Are you kidding me?
It's absolutely unbelievable.
No, of course not. And then the second thing I wanted to bring up was in your second monologue about all the research you did about people literally saying, I will cheat in this ballot. Again, I think it's been proven is the thing, though, again, too, because we have people, we've talked to the lady here before who's brought up multiple evidence.
Oh yeah, Ruth Wise. Oh, yes. There are people that gave certifications that were poll watchers, affidavits. I mean, think about it, Brendan. Mm-hmm. 6 states all at midnight, all at the same time, all with Trump ahead. They all decide to stop counting. And then in the morning, all these boxes for Biden came in.
Suspicious.
I almost said, give me a break, but I don't want to sound like Biden.
Dave Stahl earlier said, I don't want to hear the word hyperbole ever in my show because that guy uses it way too much. I can't stand that word. Again, I just wanted to bring up the fact again, during that Senate race, when I went in, I knew I wanted to go go inside the actual
place.
That's
right. And
vote.
They told you that you had already voted.
Exactly. And I
there.
Said no, because my ballot is actually still in my car right now. I haven't turned that in. So that's kind of suspicious. Can you tell me who I voted for? Oh, no, that's private information. I can't tell you. Well, obviously, I didn't vote for him. So I got to redo my vote all over again. Yeah. So something about that was very suspicious. Anyway, so with all that in mind, let's go over some stories that I wanted to talk about. First, obviously, we should talk about some people that passed away, unfortunately. I only have two specific ones. Special effects artist Matt Sweeney passed away. He was the special effects artist for movies like The Goonies. I personally love that movie. I don't know how you feel about
it. That one never grabbed me for some reason. It looked like when they advertised it, it looked like something I would really enjoy. I looked forward to seeing it, and I just didn't. Just something about the way it was acted and executed. But
are you a fan of kid actors? Is that what it is?
Or
is that what's off-putting?
I am a fan of kid actors, but I just didn't think it worked in that movie. No, I love
Jerry Maguire is fantastic. I think movies like The Sixth Sense is really good.
I loved The Sixth Sense. Yes, Jerry Maguire, I would take you to task on, but I loved The Sixth Sense.
Is the now voice that, a little annoying?
That
I get
little
it.
Kid is just the best actor
yeah,
in the
that,
world.
Yeah, Jamie Lee Osman, I think is his name, if I remember
right. I don't
right.
recall his name, but yeah, he's excellent. He was also in AI, which was a very dark movie, but he was good.
A lot of history on that one, too. We should do a whole show on AI, because that's a very
in
interesting
In many ways,
background.
It was Stanley Kubrick's last movie, even though it was produced by Steven Spielberg. He did it for Kubrick. It was a project that Kubrick had going before he passed away.
Yeah. Other movies he did, Lethal Weapon 2, Apollo 13, Galaxy Quest, and
no,
I'm just
all those movies,
say,
those three movies you just mentioned, I like all of those.
Yes. And lastly, all the Fast and Furious movies. So your choice on that one.
Yeah,
so.
I don't think I've seen the Fast and Furious one, so I'll have to reserve judgment.
You might want to turn your brain off for it. And then also on top of that, just pick and choose the right ones, honestly, because some are good, some are bad. It's not the way of Star Trek.
Oh, that's
Trek.
The way it works with a series. You have the good ones and the clunkers.
It's not like the Star Trek one where all the odd ones are bad and then all the evil
isn't
ones
that
good.
Interesting yeah no. 1, 3, and 5 was the worst.
I know
what,
I know.
What 5 did do though is it made 1 look good.
And then lastly, Bobby Tench passed away, unfortunately, at the age of 79. He was in rock groups such as Humble Pie, Streetwalkers, and the Jeff Beck Group. He was a vocalist and guitarist for those bands, so definitely our respects over to those guys. Now on to the main topics I had for you. So actually, let me do one more fun story.
Sure.
Topic. The San Diego Zoo is getting pandas back. This is a shout out to my wife.
Oh.
She is so excited. China decided to take back all their pandas from all the zoos in America. And so they're now...
Why? Because we weren't putting masks on the pandas?
Exactly, yes. No, they were trying to rehabilitate them in order to make sure they don't become extinct. Creatures.
Oh,
so.
I thought you were going to say rehabilitate them from Western dangerous ideas like capitalism.
Oh, by the way, we have this great idea, everybody. No, stop. No, but they're going to be sending them back to San Diego, Houston, and one other city here in America. They said they're still having contract disputes with Atlanta, but San Diego was one of the first cities to say, okay, we signed the contract and we're ready to go. So they'll be back within September. So get
all
to look
right,
forward to that.
The return of the panda.
That's right. Okay, now on to our main topic. So, Ye, as he's known, or Kanye West, officially came out with a new album just a couple of weeks ago called Vultures. It was a collaboration album with another rapper by the name of Ty Dolla $ign. Now, many music review publishers and independent YouTube music reviewers have refused to listen to the album entirely and not give a review of the album by itself. And Kanye West
is... just because they're hearing some things out of context that they don't like?
Sort of, but I wouldn't say it's out of context because it really is really terrible comments that he's making.
I've had such a mixed review of him. I've liked him because he tends to speak his mind, and I always appreciate people that march to the beat of a different drum, but then he has said the stupidest, most anti-Semitic things.
Right.
Obviously is going to push my buttons. Uh-huh. So what's this latest? I'm not up to what he's doing on this latest album.
No, on this latest album, he is constantly defending his position on not being anti-Semitic, but he's doing it in some of the worst ways possible.
So he's denying being an anti-Semite?
Exactly, yes.
How is he clarifying the statements that he made? What's he claiming that he really meant?
I'll give you 3 specific examples because I've only looked at the lyrics. I have not actually listened to the songs themselves personally. Number one, he says that he's worked with Jewish people prior in his past in his own business relations. Remember, we talked about how he said Adidas had nothing but Jewish CEOs in the company, and that's why they don't appreciate a black man going into their company telling them what to do, which obviously is completely false and also very, very anti-Semitic in my opinion. Just because you've worked with Jewish people before doesn't give you the right
to say those comments. It sounds like some of my best friends are Jews.
Exactly, Cohen. Exactly. And along the same lines, he's also said that I'm not anti-Semitic because I dated a Jewish girl once in my life. That's not, again... Oh. Yeah, I know.
Thank goodness, Kanye. We were worried there for a moment.
Now we could actually talk about, I guess, just in general. Oh, by the way, Christians. Since I'm part of the Christian religion, I'm just going to denounce Christians all around and just say you guys are all dumb. No, Court, don't do that. Stop that. And then also, like, he's made other comments like, oh, Hitler wasn't that bad of a guy, that situation. In fact,
That one I had not heard.
Yeah, he was on another show.
Well, you know, with all the moral relativism going on, at the moment, most people do still think Hitler was a bad guy. But I think as the years go by, we're going to see that decrease.
I know. Or they're going to say...
It's going to be a lot of historical revision.
There's going to be a lot of people saying, you know, here's this...
He did make the trains run on time.
Yeah.
And he was good for the economy.
But that doesn't excuse him for killing millions and millions of Jews in history in one of the worst massacres we've ever seen in our entire lives. And he was also recording out in Wyoming, and he called those special albums, he made four albums there called the Wyoming Tapes. I didn't hear about this till much later. It was leaked that the original name of those tapes were actually going to be called Hitler 1, 2, 3, and 4. And I'm just saying, why? Why?
Is this guy on something?
Now, he says, on the album too, he says, I blame my bipolarism, because he has been diagnosed by doctors about being bipolar.
Least he's expressing some remorse. We'll give him that.
I don't want to deal with that, though. I'm saying you can't blame everything on your bipolar.
You have to take responsibility.
Exactly. Yes. So
respect him more if he said, I said something stupid, I'm sorry, and then just let that be the end of it.
Maybe something like that. But even then, the amount of comments, how harsh it is for me personally, it's hard to forgive him. And honestly, I've actually stopped listening to him entirely. And this includes some of his old stuff, because I really enjoyed some of his old
stuff. Well, forgiveness is related to repentance. Now, if he apologized, I would find it easy to forgive him. If he's going to stand by the remarks and defend them, that's another story.
I can't accept his apology still, though. These are some really harsh comments, and that's why I was going to come
to you
tonight.
It sounds like they're not apologies. An excuse is not an apology. Okay. So maybe that's what you're reacting to.
Okay, because I was thinking it's similar as an apology. So this is where I actually wanted to go with this conversation.
Sure.
What's your opinion on separating the art from the artist? Is it okay for someone to still listen to Kanye West music and still say, okay, they're obviously not anti-Semitic, or that person's not anti-Semitic, so it's okay for them to listen to him in that sense? Because I view it as he's spreading these messages, so you're only supporting his behavior by listening to his music. So that's just my opinion. What's your opinion on just simply separating the art from the artist?
Well, as a general rule, and there are always exceptions to rules, as a general rule, I think we can do that. As you know, the arts are my other big passion besides the Bible and Christianity.
Absolutely.
My other degree is in drama, and I'm a writer. There are actors and actresses and singers who say the stupidest things politically.
Barbara Streisand. Sorry.
Barbara Streisand.
I had a cough there. Sorry.
Barbara Streisand is one of them. I could name a whole host of others. There's just many, many. And I still admire them as artists. Ed Asner was a leftist, but he's one of the best actors that we've ever had on television.
I agree.
So as a general rule, I can't separate it. Now, if the bad comments are getting into the art itself, then we're dealing with a more delicate situation. You see, when Streisand's songs, as a general rule, don't have anything to do with her politics,
no.
I can still enjoy one of her movies or songs. But with Kanye West, if this is the way his art is going, I guess there is something to be said for not wanting to support that industry at that point.
So you personally are, I'm going to guess you're probably done with Bob Dylan's politics, because he inserts a lot of his politics into his music.
And I'm not even familiar with what his politics are. Are they left?
They're very left-leaning.
I would not agree with them, but I still think he's a brilliant lyricist, brilliant composer, not the greatest singer in the world, but he has his own style. And
so does it matter more, like, if, let's say, the production or the composition part, that's a little bit more important in your opinion?
We're dealing with separate things here. Yeah. First of all, there's a work of art or a song that may not have anything to do with their politics, so I can still enjoy it. Then there are times when there's a really well-made movie or drama, very well-written, very entertaining, and yet it has a message I can't stand. And then I have a real mixed review. I'll give you a great example of this, the novel, The Da Vinci Code. That was a really well-written novel. It was a page-turner. The characters were well-drawn. The story was fascinating. But its message was such idiotic garbage written by somebody who knew absolutely nothing about the Bible or Christian history. But I was still willing to come on the air and say, I give it an A for the art, but I give it an F for the theology. So there are times when you have to make those kinds of distinctions.
I can understand. I remember taking an international film history class. We had to learn about Russia at that time, and we actually had to watch a communist film. This was a movie that was produced by the Russian government themselves to help spread the message of communism throughout the whole country. If you watch that movie alone, by itself, by its own theatrical production, and say, just watch the film by itself, I think it's an okay movie. It's about a crowd that protests and gets angry because they're being treated unfairly, and the government then steps in and says, fine, we'll treat everyone equally fairly by paying everyone. It sounds good, I guess, but obviously I disagree with the message, and I disagree with the entire thing about communism.
In general. And you can even ask the question, if it's being produced, when I think of art, I think about somebody who, whether I agree with his opinion or not, he's independent and free thinking and courageous enough to express himself even against the tide of his times. Now, I don't have that feeling when it's the government getting together to produce a movie for the purpose of brainwashing us. So in that case, I may argue that that wasn't even real art at all. It may not even fall into that category.
That's fair enough, because a lot of North Korean films are like that. Wow, Kim Jong-un is the hero again. What a surprise.
Wow. Are you kidding me? Stop Didn't it. See that one coming.
That was a plot twist. He wasn't even in the movie for him.
These days, the Academy Awards are saying things like, unless your movie has a woke message or a certain percentage of this people group or that people group or a transgender or something, it won't qualify for any awards. So once again, we're seeing films manufactured with some recipe in the background, and you have to ask, well, where's the real art?
Agree, because what was it, like 2 or 3 years ago, the movie Green Book won, and even film critics were saying, that doesn't deserve to win. It was a good movie, but it wasn't as good as, say,
and
some of the other
pictures. It checked the boxes. It was about an African-American, but he was also gay, and they just checked enough boxes so that they were trying to guarantee that they would win. Now, back in the 60s and 70s, when gay people were first coming out of the closet, even though I still wouldn't have agreed with the lifestyle, I would be willing to say that the people who made movies about such things back then were being courageous because they were amongst the few doing it.
Right.
So you see again how I'm separating the art and the perhaps courageous motives, but today it doesn't take any courage to make a movie like that in Hollywood today. It would take courage to not make a movie like that in Hollywood today.
Right. Oh, by the way, it's nominated for an Academy Award, by the way. Congratulations. So this leads me off to another question I have with you. How many times should we as Christians forgive a person? Because again, I think when it comes to Kanye West and the amount of comments he's made, he's past my limitations of being forgiven.
Well, it's interesting because Peter actually asked Jesus that question.
Oh,
he said, how many times should I forgive my brother? And he says 7. And then Jesus said 7 times 70.
Okay, so he still has a lot more chances.
Well, the point Jesus was making was that there is no limit. Right. However, the Bible says if a person sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. We always leave off the "if he repents" part. So the way I would answer your question, I would forgive somebody as often as they're genuinely asking for forgiveness. So again, I make a distinction between an excuse and an apology.
Right.
Some of the examples you gave didn't really sound like apologies. They sound like
excuses,
so explanations.
Do you find that God, obviously God would recognize those are excuses, not actual forgiveness?
Yeah, God. Well, God knows our motives. Right. Absolutely.
So obviously we both believe Hitler's in hell. We believe there's a lot of people down there that there's really no evidence
that Hitler ever repented. And the Bible says a heart can turn so evil that it's just beyond the point of no return.
I hate to bring this kind of subject up, but do you think Kanye West is leading towards that direction, to be honest? Or do you think, honestly, because he's made all those hateful comments, he's in his heart repenting?
I have not studied the man or followed his career nearly as much as you have, so I'm probably not in the best position to evaluate it. At this point, I'm willing to say he's made some really stupid comments, and I'm guessing, at least from what I've seen from my limited vantage point, that it's coming out of sincere ignorance and not out of any genuine evil or genuine hatred for the Jews.
Oh.
That's the way it looks. I mean, there's two kinds of anti-Semitism, the hateful kind and the stupid kind.
Right.
Kanye West, he seems like somebody that's just stupidly uninformed, but because he's an artist, he has a platform.
Yes.
And people listen to his big mouth.
Yes.
And I don't put that in the category of somebody that just hates Jews and wants to see them killed. So I'll cut him a little bit of slack, but I can't stand
The Lord forgives ignorance, is what you're saying.
The Lord understands ignorance. The Lord forgives everything so long as we repent. If we don't repent, that's when he won't forgive.
Okay, understood. Okay. Well, coming up, we have another topic coming up. It's big news that's coming out of this week, out of not of here in California, but in Alabama. So we're going to have to stick around to find out
okay.
about that.
Okay.
Is there really proof for the resurrection of Christ? How could a loving God send people to hell? Why does the Bible call premarital sex a sin? How will God judge the people who never heard of Jesus? These are but some of the critical concerns keeping honest seekers from considering Christianity. In an interesting, down-to-earth style, Bob Siegel tackles the hardest, most painfully honest questions. Rather than shoving these topics under the rug, Bob shows respect for his readers by providing detailed and compelling explanations. This book will be enjoyed by both skeptics and Christians. I'd like to believe in Jesus, but... Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show, our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. Say hello again to my producer, Brendan Thomas.
Well, another week, another slow news week again, Bob. I don't know what else
That's
I can
Mike
pick.
Friedenberg's line when he comes on.
That's right. So, a huge, huge Supreme Court case came about in the state of Alabama. This is history changing, basically, here. They have now officially ruled that frozen embryos are actually people now, all of a sudden, in terms of abortions when it comes to that situation. Now, there has been some political views on this, whether they are for this decision or not. One of the big ones that is against this, actually, is Donald Trump. He was at a rally and he spoke up the day of this ruling of the Supreme Court. So let's take a listen very quickly and see what he said.
I strongly support the availability of IVF for couples who are trying to have a precious little beautiful baby. I support it. And today I'm calling on the Alabama legislature to act quickly to find an immediate solution to preserve the availability of IVF in Alabama, and I'm sure they're going to do that.
On top of that, Texas Governor Greg Abbott has echoed similar thoughts of Donald Trump as well on the IVF situation. Now, were you familiar with the court case and the process of IVF, Bob, by any chance?
I was only familiar with this news story after they ruled on it. I had not been following this court case. Now, as far as things such as in vitro fertilization and mm-hmm. the transferring of an embryo, I know several couples who have done that.
Right.
And I was supportive of them doing that. Whether or not the frozen embryo is alive, to me, is a separate question. I don't think we have to conflate the two. It's a tricky one. I am against abortion mm-hmm. in any trimester, but I remember one of my parishioners once was unable to have kids, and this was an option that they had. Mm-hmm. But she said, but I'm a little bit concerned because I know that the embryos that they don't use, they freeze, and I believe at that time they were free to just go ahead and discard them or even destroy those embryos. It was a very difficult one, and I just came down with mercy and I said, your motive is to have a baby.
Right.
You're not going there to destroy life. Your purpose is to have a baby.
Right.
Now, it can be argued that if they're frozen, maybe the best thing to do is to just leave them frozen and not do anything. I do believe everybody listening is sitting there going, come on, it's just an embryo. It's a little embryo. We were all that embryo
right.
at one time.
Right.
I think we could say, yes, it is a life, but at the same time, I wouldn't want to see it against the law for somebody to have a child that way if that's the only way they're able to have it. I'm trying to come down on a position that could maybe so not make them a mutually exclusive thing.
So it sounds like you are behind Donald Trump's comments as well, it seems.
Well,
like.
Trump says these things off the cuff. Now, I haven't had any opportunity, and I'll never have an opportunity to sit down with him over a cup of coffee and have him
Boy,
elaborate.
That would be great, actually. Honestly, we should. Yeah. I should see if I could book
Do
that.
I agree with him that the practice of having a baby this way should not be outlawed? Yes. But do I agree with those who say that the embryo is a life? Yes, I agree with them, too.
Understood.
So somewhere in there, we have a tension.
Yes.
But I'm more comfortable living with the tension than just taking an extreme position on either side.
Here's what's complicated about the frozen embryo situation. Embryos can be taken as of day one. That's how crazy this could be. Heck, it could be even taken to the eighth cell stage, which is known as a blastocyst stage. So that wide range and whether or not it's a live organism at that point is just, it really doesn't give us a really good leeway whether we could call it an abortion or not exactly.
Well, so, the question I would ask when someone says it's not a life, I'd say, well, if it's not a life, what is it? And mm-hmm. people have a difficult question with that. But let's just say we're not sure.
Okay.
Then I would say to people, then let's err on the side of caution.
Okay.
I remember I had a pro-life doctor on my radio show years ago, and he gave this really interesting story for people unsure about when life begins. He says, years ago, I was hunting with my son, and he was only about 12 years old, and we were in the woods, and he heard something rustling in the bushes, and he immediately picked up his rifle, and I stopped him, and I said, son, don't shoot until you know what it is. He says, well, it's an animal, Dad, and we're hunting. He says, maybe it's an animal, maybe it's a human being, and I thought that was a real interesting story. I would think that we'd want to be concerned to just not even accidentally take the life of a human being, even if we're not absolutely sure that that's what it is.
I like that correlation. It is quite interesting. Obviously, I am a Catholic person, so
yeah.
We are in celebration of this kind of situation. We don't want anything done to the embryo at all. And obviously, there's other forms of Christianity out there that are against this too at the same time. So,
well, now, the
I
Catholic
that-
Church speaks against contraception of any kind,
exactly.
And I don't agree with that. I'm not against contraception. I am against any kind of abortion, which I would define as the taking of a life after conception.
I was also listening to Mike Gallagher earlier this
yeah.
week when he was talking about this. His plain rule is this. If it has a heartbeat, then it's an abortion. That's what he completely says in his defense. So in his terms, an embryo has a heartbeat at day one to him. Again, I have to do some more research in order to find that out because I thought by day one, the embryo was still forming.
I'm not sure there's a heartbeat by day one, but it's really interesting because you go with people, they go, well, I'm against abortion. I'll go, well, even the last trimester, even partial birth, and they'll go, oh, no, I don't believe in that. And then they'll start going, okay, well, then let's back up a little bit, the second trimester. And see, it's difficult to say it's life in the third trimester, but not the second.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's difficult to say it's life in the second and not the first. And then we say, okay, well, after it has the heartbeat, I say, okay, but before the heartbeat, isn't it a human being?
Yes.
According to its genetic code, it is now a human being.
Right. And the other issue, too, is that babies form in so many different ways. Sometimes one thing forms faster than the other. Like, for example, my son, personally, his heart only had two chambers while he was still forming. And that third one didn't come till the very last trimester, which is completely strange. It usually happens much, much earlier into the pregnancy. So lot of concern was on that part.
Well,
but
the other thing too is I'm a little bit cautious about us determining life based on size and shape and appearance, because there was a time in history when based on the appearance of skin color, people were viewing one kind of person as inferior.
Mm-hmm.
And yet these same people will say, oh, well, this is obviously not a life because look, it's just so tiny, it could live in a petri dish. Okay, well, all of us could have lived in that petri dish.
For sure.
So we got to be really, really careful, I think.
Do you think this decision will influence other conservative states possibly into looking into naming the same
Probably. My fear, and I know Sean Hannity has articulated this fear, is that it could divide conservatives, and Hannity's concerned that it could give ammunition to the Democrats in the next election.
I did not think of that, but
well,
that's true.
He He's probably right, but I'm also a little bit concerned about him protesting it too much, because there's a point where we just have to say, look, if it's human life, it's human life, and what happens in the election happens in the election. There's certain things we can't compromise on.
Absolutely. I remember also listening to the Mike Gallagher show where a caller called in and said, this is absolutely terrible what the Republican Party is doing, because now you're going to be taking away votes now, because there was people who were thinking about voting for the Republican Party, but now you're taking this abortion stance. Now you have to either side with us or go against us. And
well, if they really want to deal with that, what they can say is, okay, then I guess you're happy with the Democrats who were voting against the Infant Protection Act. And these are babies that were actually born, but if it was a botched up abortion and the mother intended an abortion, the doctors can refuse to give medical treatment. This was a bill that was going to prevent doctors from doing that. Almost every Democrat in Congress voted against that bill. So when they want to start talking about the extremism on the right, I think the best thing to do is point out some of the extremism on the left.
I agree, because again, we can look at even modern day examples. They were quick to put masks on us. Oh, you need to go get these vaccines because we're going to protect you from the COVID with taking these vaccines.
Again, yeah, what happened to my body, my choice?
Exactly.
That just went out the window.
Yeah, so you're going to have to take into consideration of those things too. So
yeah, you got to look at the whole picture. Yeah. We may lose some votes over this, but we've got to still stand by life, I think.
Does this court case, can it get repealed to the National Supreme Court?
Yes. Possibly? Yeah, absolutely. So it probably will.
I was going to ask you about that, too. So you think it will go into that?
I would be very surprised if it didn't.
Because I still think it's going to become the situation where the Supreme Court's going to say, listen, it's going to be a state decision still. We can't make a really big national ruling about
this. That is probably
situation.
What this particular Supreme Court would
That's
say. But
I'm
people
saying.
Are hoping that some future Supreme Court will overturn it, and then it'll be like the days of Roe v. Wade again.
Mm-hmm.
They'll view it as an overturning of that last decision.
Right. Well, thank you so much, Bob, for a great conversation.
Wow, that went by fast. Well, you always have such stimulating topics, and I really appreciate the way you wrestle with these issues and really try to find the moral clarity.
I put a lot of research, people, let me tell you.
I'm far more than a lot of people would put in, my friend.
Thank you.
All right, we'll see you next time, everybody.